Amen. You can be seated. Turn to Job chapter 38. It is good to see you, and I do appreciate y'all being here. And I know some have got, a few of you got to head out after this morning sessions, and we'll talk bad about you tomorrow morning. Those of you that have to do know, we understand that. But I do want to encourage you to make sure that you're meeting new people and meet some new friends along the way. And it's good to have people from all over the place, different countries and different parts. So, you know, like California, we've got some from the country of California here and local people. And it was good to see all of you and see what the Lord's doing. I'm excited. I get to travel a little bit, and it's so exciting for me to see what God is doing in other parts of the world. And it reminds me that it's not just, you know, we get focused where we're at in our field, and we should be focused there. But God is not dead. We do know that, right? This crowd's dead this morning, but God is not dead. And I just felt like I needed to remind us of that this morning after looking at this. But Job 38, I'm going to teach something I put in my book, Satan's Culture, and let me just put another plug in for that. If you haven't picked that up, let me encourage you to pick it up. I know it sounds like I'm just trying to sell my book, and I am, but I know what's in here. And these are things that I've taught my people. This is a decade's worth of study. And I know $40 is a little bit expensive for a book, especially when you're used to coloring books and comic books, Brother Sammy, and you know. And so, there's almost 600 pages. I would encourage you to get this book, read it, study it, teach it to your people. You don't have to teach it exactly like it is in here. Get some for your people. If you'd like to get some copies for your church, let me know. I'll work with you on that. It's an expensive book to produce, so I can't give it away, but I want to get these truths out. And so let me just encourage you to stop by and get one if you have not gotten one. And I want to make sure these truths get out. Job chapter 38, look with me at verse number 1. We know about the book of Job, don't we? We understand it, and we understand the truths that are therein, and we talk about the greatness of Job, but I don't think we really understand how great. There's a reason why God had a high opinion of Job the way he did. And what's amazing to me, and what I've tried to do with this study of my own life, and then things that I've put in this book and things, I'm reminded what we all know. God's truths are eternal. Job is the, historically, the oldest book, the oldest Bible character. And what we're going to look at today applies to the internet. Think about that. It applies to social media. God's truths are eternal. We know this, but it's amazing to stop and think. Something that happened in the days of Job applies to this modern era. And I know we live in a postmodern world, so we have to reevaluate what truth is. At least that's what we've been told. But God's word is, you can never go wrong by just using God's book as that filter. You know, I'm not getting my worldview from Tucker Carlson. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get my worldview from him. I've got, you know, we've got first graders in Sunday school that know more about the Bible than he does. And so, but I'm going to get ahead of myself. Verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job. Think about this. We know how this book starts. Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2. We know all that's taking place. Satan comes into the presence of God. God gives him permission to persecute Job. Job goes through all of that, takes all that away from him. And then we have not heard from God in a long while in this book. But then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" God has been silent for a long time. Man hasn't been silent. But God's been silent a long time. This whirlwind, this tornado comes, and oh, God's going to speak. Certainly, God's going to give an explanation to Job of why he's gone through what he's gone through. In that verse 2, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? This morning I want us to look at dark counsel. God hasn't spoken, and by the way, when God is not speaking, that doesn't mean he's waiting on us to tell him what to think. But we know the book of Job, that's what's been going on. God breaks his silence. And what is his silence? It is a rebuke. He is not explaining Job's suffering. Job, now let me tell you why you've gone through this. Oh, he doesn't go to the miserable comforters and say, I know you've got questions about why Job, your brother, and I know it's out of care and concern. Let me explain to you why he's been suffering. No, that is not what God does. God rebukes. And basically says, who do you think you are? This dark counsel. See, Job had been receiving a lot of dark counsel. It was the flood of commentary that had not come from God, but from man's finite reason and flawed theology. It was dark counsel, words without light, knowledge, or truth. And in this culture we deal with, that counsel is everywhere. It's on social media, it's in our news, it's in these progressive pulpits, it's even in Christian circles. Independent Baptists are not immune to it. It says dark counsel. What is dark counsel? Dark counsel is the appearance of wisdom without the presence of truth. The appearance of wisdom. Those miserable comforters, you know who I'm talking about, right? They had God figured out. They had Job figured out. And of course, their condemnation and explanation of why Job went through what he went through, it didn't come from a place of envy. It didn't come from a place of their own shortcomings. Seeing somebody who God said was above them all, seemingly being humbled, taken to the ash heap. It's, you know, it didn't come from that place. See, dark counsel, listen to this. It sounds spiritual, but lacks scriptural substance. Have y'all ever heard any dark counsel? Have you ever been part of dark counsel? I will be transparent and say I have. We like to give our opinion about everything, don't we? It cloaks ignorance and confidence, while it presents opinion as authority and often seeks to explain what God has not explained. How arrogant are we as men? Just let me tell you what God is doing when God has not said what he's doing. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at what's going on in the world and say, according to the Bible, this is what I think is happening. This is what I can see happening. But when we look at another person's life, how arrogant is it for saying, I know what God's doing in their life. Especially we talk about what's going on in a church that we don't even go to. Every once in a while, I don't know if I would recommend this, but every once in a while I have to read the internet just to find out what's going on in my own church. By people who've never been, who I've never met, who don't know anybody there. That way I know how to shepherd my people. I'm being sarcastic if you didn't know that. But think about this. It redefines many times what God has already spoken. It's not always overt heresy. Sometimes it's misapplied scripture, worldly logic, or emotionally driven theology. In Job's case, dark counsel came from friends who meant well, but misrepresented both Job's character and God's intentions. I don't know as much about the Bible as many of you, but I know enough about the Bible that God tells us what he wants us to know. He has revealed what he wants to reveal to us. And it's an easy thing for us to try and fill in the blanks for God, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, whose ways are higher than our ways. If we're not careful, we can fall into that dark counsel. And by the way, I'll just say this now, we give too much attention to dark counsel. You know, you're not God, you didn't call me to preach, you can't uncall me to preach. You didn't call me to my church, I don't care how big of a microphone you're talking to, you can't uncall me from my church. Anybody okay out there? I don't care how fancy your social media post is. It's your opinion. Well, in my opinion, we find some of you are awake now. See, with dark counsel, it came from his friends who misrepresented both Job's character and God's intentions. In today's culture, it may come from platforms who redefine sin as self-expression, therapists who affirm rebellion as healing, preachers who twist grace into a license for ungodliness, or those who champion injustice in the name of transparency and accountability. Chew on that for a few minutes. We find Satan's use of dark counsel. From the Garden of Eden to the modern digital age, Satan has been in the business of darkening counsel. His first recorded words were a question, "Yea, hath God said?" He didn't silence the truth, he just shadowed it. He darkened it. He introduced doubt, distortion, and division. That's how dark counsel works. God is clarity. That dark counsel puts a shadow on it. You and I know how this works. Well, the pastor's a good man, but that's dark counsel. As preachers, everybody okay if we just honest with one another? I remember growing up hearing all those old preachers thundering about the gossips in the church. Now the gossips are in the pulpits. I have a hard time placing myself under people who are gossips. You can gossip on the telephone. You can gossip on social media. It's not silencing the truth. It's shadowing it. Now, brother so-and-so, that was a good message, but... Yeah, it's darkening counsel. See, in the garden, Satan darkened counsel through subtle questions. And this is good for us because, you know, as pastors and ministry workers, no matter what we're doing for the Lord, we are susceptible. If Job is susceptible to this, I will be honest with you, I am not as good a man as Job is. I am not as good a man as Job is. And if Job can be beat down under the burdens and heartaches and losses of life, if he can succumb, if he can be a victim of it, if his miserable comforters weren't always miserable comforters. They were his friends. They were his companions. They were his co-laborers. But then when all of these trials begin, this testing from God began to come, the circumstances changed. And then it was, well, and at first, if you know the story of the miserable comforters, they did right at first. They just came and sat. Well, I don't know what to say. That's okay. If you don't know what to say, don't say it, because they didn't know what to say and they started saying it. At first, they were great. They were just there. And by the way, can I just say, when somebody's going through something, whether it's a testing like Job, but they thought there was something, they were under God's judgment, It's okay to still... I love what Dr. Wallace preached Monday night because of everything he said Monday night. But I also like the fact that he said, even in those circumstances that are sad and tragic, he said, "I'm still their friend." And at 95, I guess he's not worried about being canceled. See, in the garden, Satan darkened counsel through subtle questions. In the wilderness, he quoted scripture to Jesus, but twisted out of context. In churches today, he promotes tolerance that rejects truth, love that excuses sin, and unity that demands silence. Can I give you some sources of dark counsel in today's culture? One is social media. This is something that was said to me, so I can't take credit for it. But any idiot can open a social media account. We went from days where you actually had to do something and build something for your opinion to matter. And now you can have never done anything, and you can get on social media and rebuke somebody who has actually built something. And then puff your chest out and walk away and say, huh, look, what I did something good for the Lord today. But there's a lot of people on social media telling you how to do it, telling you the way it's been done. You know, a lot of these great men in the past have been mentioned. It's like, well, I would have done it this way. You can't even build a Sunday school class. I wouldn't let you preach in my junior church. And you're telling everybody else how to do it. That's dark counsel. Credentials aren't needed. I'm not necessarily talking about your college degrees and your certification, but in my mind, credentials are you've lived a little bit longer than 21. And when I was 40, it was 21. Now that I'm 51, you've lived a little bit longer than 40. Anybody, any of you old guys like this? Maybe when I was 30, I thought I was smart for 30. Then when I turned 40, it was like, what an idiot I was at 30. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm 40 now. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, you don't have a brain until you're 35. I was like, well, I'm 40. I got a fully developed brain now. And now that I'm 51, I'm like, God help those people who I was their pastor at 40. But I've got together now at 51. I've got it all figured out. Something tells me if the Lord gives me till 60, I'm going to look back and say, those poor preachers that had to sit under me while I was teaching at 51. Maybe I'm the only one. Best credentials, having done something, lived something, been through something. This might be a benefit to somebody. I don't care if a guy has pastored on the backside of the desert and he's got a handful of people, but if he's been there and he's done something and he's shepherded lives and he's been through battles and he hasn't quit, that's more credentials to me than a bunch of letters behind a name. Because they've done something. You could probably talk about the lieutenants who came fresh out of officer training but have never fired a shot. But those who had been in battle knew more about battle. Am I right on that? The social media, where everybody gives that dark counsel. I'm going somewhere with this, so if I have time, we'll get there. Entertainment. I don't have to say much about that. We know what that does. Politics. Christian counseling without Christ. Therapy sessions that focus on self-fulfillment but ignore spiritual obedience. I wrote a chapter in here on the mental illness crisis, this culture that we have. And then why is it we have more counselors, more therapists, more medications available today, more emphasis on it today, and we've got more of a problem than we've ever had. Somewhere we got to connect those dots. Pulpits without preaching, motivational speeches labeled as sermons, offering hope without repentance. There's a lot of that. Let me give you some dangers of listening to dark counsel. It clouds discernment. We're talking about, we need a revival. Yeah, we need a revival of discernment. Filtering through man's opinion and getting back to God's opinion, what God has said. And we have passed down and accepted so many things that we think God said and not what he actually said. And it's just been passed down and passed down and passed down. And then when you read the Bible, it's like, oh, that says something a little bit different than the way I've been quoting it. It clouds discernment. You stop knowing what's true. This is important because there's so much dark counsel on the internet coming to our cell phones, not just ours, your people's cell phones. And it clouds their discernment. You know, if I want to listen to a podcaster, I don't have much time to do that, but if I want to listen to one give some political commentary about what's going on in my country, that's one thing, but don't, this man, there's their opinion. They're in the business of giving their opinion based on what their view is. And don't think they don't have motives in their opinion. And we take that as the gospel truth. For 4 years, I preached, I didn't preach against Fox News, but I hit Fox News more than I did hit CNN. Because you got a whole generation of people that just listen to Fox News, listen to Fox News, listen to Fox News. Well, I heard it on Fox News. It's like, they're lying to you. They're trying to get CNN canceled. That's their whole goal. They have an agenda. Some of you are like, you're against Fox News? I'm against all the news. It clouds discernment. It complicates suffering. Like Job, you start believing you're being punished when God may be proving you. Job was carrying the weight of all that Job went through. We don't have time to go through it. We know what he went through. He's carrying all that weight. And now he's got people who are supposedly his friends. And the reason why you're going through all this, why don't you just confess, Job? You've got to be hiding something. Why don't you just confess? Why don't you just tell us? You got to stay away from that brother over there. There's got to be something there. You know, God gives us a picture of what takes place in the Bible, and he shows us what took place behind the curtain, if I can say it that way, with Satan coming into, and him challenging God and said, what about Job? And he says, oh, only because you're so good to him. He says, okay, he just can't take his life. You think that's the only time that's ever happened in history? I don't. Is Satan still going into the presence of God today and accusing? You think it's possible for God to say, well, I know what you're saying, but what about this person? And Satan saying, oh, well, the only reason that they are that way towards you is because you're so good to them. You don't think that could happen again? We ought to be very, very careful in trying to make ourselves sound spiritual and say, this is why they're going through this. It complicates their suffering because you start believing. Because truth of the matter is, when you're going through things, we all know, really, when we get down to it and we take the dignity off when it's just us and God, we know what we are, right? We know what we are. And then when you're in that and you're stripped away of everything, you're in that ash heap and you're stripped of all your dignity, everything, and why is this even happening? Then you have people telling you how horrible and bad you are. You think it's possible that he believed it? What is in my heart? Complicated suffering, it creates division. Dark counsel divides the body of Christ into cliques, camps, and controversies. I'm just going to be very transparent today, this morning only. There are people who would be helped by this conference, and they're not here because somebody darkened counsel against them. I've never met Neil. I've never talked to him. But in 1978, his dad preached a message that ticked me off. You say, you're being sarcastic. No, I'm not. Well, I've never talked to him. I've never asked him. But I saw on the internet, this preacher said, it's dark counsel. It creates division. See, those who peddle dark counsel hurt the cause of Christ. This is what I think. And by the way, I'm so glad I got to this position in my life, and I'm not perfect in it. Please don't think that I'm saying these things or anything I've mastered. There's things that I'm trying to live. But I've learned I don't have to give my opinion about what's going on with you. I can't keep up with me. I can't keep up with this. I mean, have you seen what I have to deal with? Have you seen my staff? Have you seen my people? I mean, I don't have time to worry about you. I don't have time. You know, I heard they're going through this. Do you have an opinion? Nope. What do you think? I try not to about that. Because if I interject my opinion, I'm darkening. It creates division. Have you ever formulated an opinion on something, then you found out later that you had a wrong opinion? Are you willing to admit that? Somebody's like, well, I don't like, no, I don't like me. I don't agree with half the things I do. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Creates division. It leads to rebellion. How many of our young people, how many of those in my generation, they have left the old-time way because they've had darkened counsel? Absalom created a lot of problems, didn't he, in his rebellion? His counselors encouraged treachery against his own father. Let me ask you that. You think that's the only time that's ever happened in history? I could give you names of sons who've been counseled by good brethren to create treachery against their own father. They don't come out and say that. But they darken that counsel is like, what was the motive of this? Don't you see how the people were driven and abused? Well, I mean, until you're the king wearing the crown, making the decisions, having the all-night prayer meetings, wrestling with God, you don't know. But it creates rebellion. I would rather somebody come right out to my people and say, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at the pastor. I don't like this. I'm rebellious. And I've said this. I said, if anybody ever comes to me and tells me the real reason why they're leaving the church is just I'm mad, I'm backslidden, and I'm rebellious, I'm going to put a plaque up in their honor. Because it's always, you've changed, church, I'm not getting fed, this and this and this and this. Just come right out and say you're mad or you've been talking to somebody on the internet. Or somebody across town, you've been talking to. Just if you just tell me that, I will put a plaque up. It'll be in the bathroom above the urinal, but I will put a plaque up in your name if you'll just be honest and say, I'm backslidden. But you know what? Those that are just backslidden and then say, Pastor, I'm backslidden, you can get them back. But they haven't been corrupted with that dark counsel. That's why you have got to, and I'm preaching to the choir, I know this. This is a good reminder for me. I am on guard against those who darken counsel. That's going to create division in my church. I don't need people to give commentary on what they know the pastor meant. Come ask the pastor what he meant when he said it. That's who you need to be on guard for. I'm not worried about the person that's necessarily they're behind where they should be and they're all over the place and I'm trying to get it together. It's the one who's wanting to give commentary on why everybody's going through what they're going through, what the pastor meant. But matter of fact, there are those who have been, and I will still be their friend, but I just don't fellowship with them because they have to give commentary on what everybody else is doing and how they're doing it. Everybody okay? It leads to rebellion. You know, our young people, they don't leave the truth because the truth isn't adequate. Somebody darkens the truth, gives their commentary. Might I say to us, God still speaks from the whirlwind? Job 38 again. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He didn't stop there. If God just came to me in a whirlwind, that would be enough to get my attention. But then the audible voice of God. Who is this? I can imagine them all going, pointing to the next guy. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? I'm paraphrasing here, but God's saying, who are the idiots who've been given their opinion? You don't know what you're talking about. Verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man. Oh, you've been on that keyboard posting that. Accountability will come. Put your big boy pants on. You've been telling everybody what I think. You've been telling everybody what I meant. You've been telling everybody how I've been judging. Now here I am, put your big boy pants on and let's have a conversation. For I will demand of thee and answer thou me. God still demands. That's why, it's just God, when God does a work, we did a work, said, you better keep your mouth. He's like, I don't want to have that conversation with God. Tell me what I was thinking. For I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. That's a rhetorical question. There's no proper answer to that. You know, we have to be very, very careful because we give dark counsel to ourselves. Well, this is what I think. This is what I know God is doing. And we do that 1,000 times, and the one time we guessed right, we're like, see, I knew I had it. I knew. Me and God, we're like this. Our minds are. We have to be careful. He reestablishes his sovereignty. That we weren't there, but he was. We don't know. And Job had no idea. His friends had no idea. The conversation that God had with the accuser. And what God was going to do. See, this is a reminder. We must be bold enough to say what God said to Job. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? What does that mean? We ought to stop reposting false doctrine because it's poetic. Well, this is a good quote. Don't quote. If a heretic made a good quote, don't. Maybe Darwin had a good quote. We going to repost him? No. Stop affirming feelings when they contradict the Word. If we're in conflict with the Word of God, the worst thing we can do is make ourselves feel good about it. Stop listening. Okay, you ready for this? Stop listening to those who speak for God without knowing God. Start filtering every voice through the voice. And we must call out dark counsel, not with arrogance, but with authority from Scripture. We are good. I'm putting this being very general this morning. We are good at telling God what He meant and what He thinks. And not only that, we're good at sharing that with other people. We got to be very careful of that. Maybe we need to be careful of these Christian influencers. And if you're of a certain generation, certainly younger generations, they are growing up in the social media world. They're growing up in the digital world. It is what they don't know any world without that. And you think with all that access, you think the prince of the power of the air is not going to capitalize on that? And he's not influencing us with horns and a pitchfork. It's with false doctrine. It's with almost truth. It's that dark counsel. Eve would have never taken the fruit if he had said, God's a liar. He called God a liar, but he just did it by darkening it. Yea, hath God said. Can revival, revival can come. Didn't have to be through independent Baptists for there to be a revival. It does have to come through the church, though. God's not going to bypass His institution. There has to be some connection to the local church that Christ died for. Oh, you don't want to get me started on that. the Christian influencers, to me, they're more dangerous than the alcohol crowd. I preach more against the Christian influencers and that which is almost right than Hollywood. Because Hollywood is so corrupted now, you can't even, I mean, it's obvious. What's this characteristics of feel-good faith? I've got to hurry. Jesus is a cheerleader, not a savior. The Bible is inspirational, but not authoritative. Sin is rebranded as struggle, identity, or trauma. God's love is emphasized, but his righteousness is erased. Doctrine is optional, and conviction is offensive. They quote enough, just enough scripture to sound credible, but they filter it through the lens of emotion, experience, and pop psychology. I've got to move quickly to get to where I need to get to finish this off here in the next few minutes. Let me just get to this. This might help us give some ways how the church has participated in dark counsel against the innocent. Certainly, Job was not perfect, and God dealt with Job. But what they were accusing him of, he was innocent of. See, pastors have been ousted over rumors. Friendships have been ended over rumors. Ministries have been ruined by gossip. By the way, gossip could be true or false. It amazes me. We can have pastor by our name. We can have a little bit of a following. We can get on the internet, and we can gossip, and we don't have a problem with that. I could like that because I don't like the person they're gossiping about. You know, God does call discord sowing. He does call that bearing false witness an abomination. We got no problem preaching against homosexuality, which is an abomination. There's more than one abomination in the mind of God. But as long as we're not participating in this one, we'll preach against it. But if we're participating in this one, we'll justify it. We'll darken it. Church members have turned against one another without scriptural due process. It's not discernment, it's dark counsel. It's injustice in spiritual clothing. And then this reminds us, God hates injustice. In Job 42:7, he says, "My wrath is kindled against thee, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." God hates injustice. He was angrier at the false accusations than he was at Job's complaints. What were the false accusations? Misrepresentation. God takes it seriously when we misrepresent him. We misrepresent. Well, I would never do anything. When I preach, I would just preach the word of God, and we ought to hold to that. But we also ought to be careful. We do filter in our opinion in there sometimes. But what were they doing? They were having this conversation with Job, and they were saying, "God's doing this to you, and God's doing this." And let's just be honest, we are susceptible to that even as preachers. Well, I heard about this, and I know why that happened. It finally caught up. You have no idea. No idea. You know, if we would just stick to us and what God's given us and let God speak when God wants to speak. Is God not capable of holding his men accountable? He don't need you, cowboy. He don't need you. He don't need me. You know who I have the hardest problem with? My wife. No. You know the answer to that because I'm my biggest problem and you're your biggest problem. You know what helped me get the right attitude on this is because of the miserable comforters God has placed in my life. But God comes out, and he is silent. It's like God's going to speak. He's going to tell us why. Job, he's going to confirm. and he's going to give you the answer you've been looking for. And he's like, why are y'all, who are you to tell me what I'm doing? And why I'm doing it. No, they're not just saying this is why I'm doing it. They're giving me my motives of why I'm doing it. And we will condemn them, and we should, and condemn that activity, and we should. But do we fall into it from time to time? This world is, this culture is full of dark counsel. Our people are inundated with dark counsel. I pastor a church. The Bible's been preached for decades, but I have to go back and systematically in the most simple, basic things. One, because there's new people, new generation, but those old truths that we know were true and we take them for granted, the devil's been darkening them, putting questions on them. You know, you can this is just me, and I have to stop. You don't have to draw your lines where I draw my lines. We should all draw Bible lines. But there are some things, it's like, let every man be convinced in his own mind. That's not talking about doctrinal issues, by the way. You don't have to do that. And I can be your friend. I can fellowship with you. You don't have to agree with me on certain things, and I can fellowship with you. But there are a group that I will not fellowship with. And it's those who are constantly darkening truth and weaponizing it against God's people. I won't have nothing to do with that. I mean, I think I made my point there. Let's be careful. Let's just be on guard against dark counsel. I can have my opinions formulated for me if I'm not careful about anything. So we have to be very, very careful. We don't want to come under subjection of another. We don't want those things controlling us. Well, how about our mind? Well, I heard this, and that's a credible source. Still doesn't mean it's true. Still doesn't mean it alleviates my responsibility to do what the Bible says with that. Well, I got to find out if this is true. I don't have time to find out if this and this and that. I got my own things that I have to deal with. And I've had somebody call and say, well, I want to, you know, you probably heard this. And I'm like, nope, I haven't. Well, I wanted to call you. That's fine, but I don't need to know. Because I figure God is big enough to take care of whatever God wants to take care of. And guys, I'm getting a little bit off course here, but let me just say this. Don't let somebody else bring you into what's going on in somebody else's church. I haven't, and if I hear of something that's going on in the Heritage Baptist Church, I am not paying attention to that, but I am going to be his friend and encourage him. And if he wants me to come up and eat some Mexican food with him, I'll be glad to. I want to be a good friend. Why do we think we got to give an opinion on what everybody else is doing? Well, there's trouble there. I got to find out why. There's why. Why? I don't have time for that. But let's get it back to, what is it? It's Satan. And those miserable comforters, they thought they were justified in being miserable comforters. I'm just being a friend. I'm telling it like it is. We got to have things of God. Got to be pure. God's judging. Here comes the whirlwind. By the way, there's some whirlwinds in motion. And God's going to bring some whirlwinds. He's not going to let us get away with misrepresenting him. So we've got to be very, very careful with that. You can preach the King James Bible and still darken the council. We can be influenced by dark counsel. So just so you know, and some of you are just getting to know me, and some of you know me, you know this is true. If you're under the attack, I probably have not heard about it. One, the people who hate you hate me too. They just move from me to you now. You know, I'm not interested in somebody else's opinion about what God might be doing in your life and your ministry. I'm not interested in it. This makes sense. Does this help? All right, some of you are going to want a refund from your book after hearing this. All right, let's look forward to God blessing us. We'll be back in here in 9 minutes. You're dismissed.